FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is June 27th, 2016, and we're 4 days after the Brexit vote. And evidently, the Brexit vote was not rigged. It was an honest vote. What do you think about that? It's obviously it had to be honest because the good guys won, and it certainly could have been rigged. So, well, a lot of thoughts about that subject, and John Rubino, dollarcollapse.com, with us now. Happy Monday, John.
Hey, Gary. Happy Monday. Wow.
Shock.
I have to say, I thought if it was a close vote that it would be stolen, because that's sort of the pattern of modern politics. You know, the guys in charge who run the voting machines and do the counting make sure that their side usually wins. And in this case, this is a really big vote for the people in charge with huge consequences. And it was fairly close. And yet the guys in charge allowed an apparently honest vote to happen. So, you know, in that sense, congratulations to Britain and you know, props, because that's not the way that a lot of people expected it to go.
I thought there was no way or very little way that it was going to happen, but I'm the first to admit that I'm often wrong about all of these things. So, hey, just chalk up another incorrect prediction. You know, the problem with the future, John, I think Yogi Berra said it. Or was it John Maynard Keynes or whomever, that the future is uncertain, right?
Yeah. It's a prediction is hard,
yeah.
Especially about the future. That's the one that gets attributed to Yogi Berra a lot. But and so now, anyhow, the financial market's been tossed into turmoil. You know, stock prices are plunging around the world and bond yields are crashing. And it'll be interesting to see what U.S. mortgage rates end up being here pretty soon, because I think we might get below 3% in the not too distant future on a 30-year mortgage. I'm ready to refinance.
Me too. Hey, Yogi Berra said it's tough making predictions, especially about the future.
Yeah. And, you know, we've found that out
humbling.
Long ago.
Yeah. It's humbling about gold and about the economy and the stock market and the real estate market and go down the list. But look, others were more certain than us. Andy Hoffman was sure this was going to happen. But look, the interesting thing is that the reaction to it between the 23rd when the vote took place and then midnight, roughly, I'm sure you were watching the returns, and it was a lot more exciting than a presidential election in a lot of ways when you were watching the votes come in from places that you never heard of in the UK and places that are pits that are like hollowed out industrial, like Middle West type areas. And the votes are coming in and Brexit's trailing, then it's ahead, then it's trailing, and then it just goes ahead decisively, and you realize that there's not enough votes left for Brexit to lose. And at that point, before they call it, and mind you, the media waited very late to call it for Brexit, which was an indication that it was going to win. And all of a sudden you say, wait a second here, something's up. And then the carnage that was wreaked in the financial markets the next day, and gold went up close to $60. That was like an oversized response, because nothing changed in the real world, John, from Thursday night to Friday morning. Nothing had changed. And yet the markets tanked. So something else obviously was at play here other than the Brexit vote, in my humble opinion.
Well, Brexit in and of itself, what Great Britain does is not going to shake the world. But what they represent, you know, in terms of a trend, that's a very big deal, because now you've got like 8 other European countries wanting Brexit votes of their own. And if that gains momentum, and the European Union actually breaks up, that would be huge, and that would also affect the status of the euro. You would you would see the European Central Bank have to devalue the euro really aggressively to keep Italy and Spain and Portugal and Greece in the eurozone. So we're talking major financial turmoil out there as this gathers steam and continued uncertainty, because we're not going to know for a year whether France does their version of a leave the euro or leave the EU vote. But they want to, and Marine Le Pen is the most popular politician there, and that's her platform. So a lot of big things could flow from the Brexit vote that, first of all, would be earth-shattering if they happened, and second of all, won't take place for a while. So we'll have that uncertainty hanging over the markets for a really long time. And you're seeing the banks just get crushed because of this. You know, I've got a chart of Deutsche Bank in front of me here. And they were trading at $35 a share a year ago. Now the stock price is $13.70. And this is the most important bank in Europe, the biggest German bank. And as it goes, so goes the rest of the European banking sector. So, you know, this is very scary from the point of view of people looking for another Lehman moment, you know, some big crisis that happens that still, in and of itself, in good times, wouldn't be a big crisis. But because we're so fragile, because we've created the conditions in which a crash can happen and spread around the world, anything that happens is really dangerous. So if something fairly big happens, that has the potential to spread in ways that that are unpredictable and really, really bad and scary. And so, you know, Deutsche Bank crashing because of Brexit, that could be the thing, you know, and so people just don't know. And that kind of uncertainty is sending capital flowing out of risky assets, and into things that are perceived to be safe. So we're seeing high-grade bonds catch a massive bid. And so interest rates are becoming more negative in Germany and Japan, and they're plunging in the U.S. That's because all this terrified money is flowing into instruments that will at least pay you back eventually. Mm-hmm. You know, they won't yield you anything. In fact, they'll take a little bit of money away from you year after year, but they'll give you your principal back at some point in the future. And gold and silver.
Yeah.
Same thing. Old forms of money that can't be inflated away by governments and tend to hold their value in crazy times. You know, gold spiked. Where is it now? $1,322 an ounce right now, which is a near 3-year high. So we're seeing a big changing of the guard in the markets now, where risky financial assets are falling out of favor and real solid assets, either high-grade government bonds or physical things like gold, silver, and to an extent, some energy assets, some farmland, stuff like that. Those things are seeing big capital inflows. So if this continues, then we got a serious equity bear market on our hands. And, you know, we don't know whether it will continue, but the fact that Brexit might just be the first domino to fall kind of implies that the bear market at this point has legs.
Yeah, it certainly would appear to. And the bull market in precious metals appears to have legs. The action there, I mean, watching the Brexit vote when it appeared it was inevitable, gold was up $90 the ounce. It closed Friday close to $60 the ounce. This morning, woke up, it was $20 up. Now it's at right around $7. It's seesawing back and forth, but the volatility is there. Volatility is definitely an indicator here. Don't look so hard at the numbers. Look at the volatility. So in answer to the trolls, I got an email 2 weeks ago from the biggest of the trolls that stalk the show, saying gold is going down. You're wrong, and you're hurting people. You know, and it's like, hey, who am I hurting here? It's like, I say my opinion, and I always tell you, if you listen to my advice, you're going to lose money, at least in the short run. So with that advice, you know, who gets hurt here? But the fact is, the stocks where we've interviewed the CEOs, John, the partners, our sponsors, which we're totally transparent about, those stocks are up. About 6 of the 8 of those stocks are up dramatically, John. I mean, you look at First Mining Finance, Keith Neumeyer, you know, that stock was trading at 32 cents when we first started talking with Keith. It's up today, major, nothing to do with us, mind you, just the turmoil with the markets, etc. It's at 75 cents. That's Canadian, by the way. It's been as high as 85 cents. You know, you look at Brazil Resources. We've interviewed those people over there. that stock. It's $1.67, but interestingly enough, it's been as high as $1.94. People who bought that are being hurt. I guess I'm missing something here, John. But I don't really care about the trolls. Let them troll. Let them do what they want. The market's going to do what it wants. It always does. So
here's an interesting thing about the gold market lately. Now, the Commitment of Traders report, which is a measure of who's doing what in the paper futures market in gold, showed that the hedge funds and other speculators were really long a couple of months ago. And normally, because the speculators tend to be wrong at turning points, they were very long, which led a lot of people to expect the gold market to tank here going forward. But it didn't, because of Brexit, gold spiked, which means the speculators have made a ton of money just lately. They were record long, and then the thing they were record long went way up. So you've got a lot of hedge funds out there with a lot of embedded profits in precious metals. And historically, that's bearish for gold. So it does create the conditions in which we could see a fairly sharp correction here, just because you got all these hedge funds that are now antsy. You know, they've made a ton of money. They would love to lock those profits in. And so they're faced with the question of, do you go even more long because there's momentum, or do you cash out a bit? And so if there's a little down squiggle in gold, you know, a small correction, it'll snowball, because you've got all these nervous speculators out there who want to protect their profits. And so it does create the conditions in which we could still have a correction in gold, even if the turmoil that we're talking about is still ongoing. So people who are thinking about entry points and maybe taking money off the table because they've got a big profit in these little, especially gold and silver miners that have really popped. You know, if you've got something that has quadrupled in 6 months, the impulse is there to take some profits. And so from a trading standpoint, gold is really ambiguous right now. You know, it's a very scary market because it could go either way in a big way. And it's really hard to tell because you've got these cross currents out there. So anyhow, that's just an interesting thing. And people who are stacking or gradually adding to a position, which is what everybody should be doing, you know, just dollar cost average. Don't worry about these squiggles. This is meaningless. But anybody who's thinking about doing anything big in either direction has got to be a little nervous right now, because it's not clear which way you go.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Well, that's why I always advocate a gradualist approach.
Yes.
Do it over a period of months, even years. Don't do it all at once. Don't do it out of fear, either out of fear that the system's going to collapse or fear that you are going to miss out on the party. The party's going to go on for a long time, and there's going to be ebbs and flows like there always is. And potentially, just like we saw a four-year lull, there could be multi-year lulls in the price of gold again after a run-up. So don't worry about missing out. The fun is just getting started. And just, follow your best instincts. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. That doesn't work usually very well. And you'll see that that over the long haul, your wealth will be protected. And have reasonable expectations. Don't expect to get rich. And just go that way and you'll be a lot happier.
You know, and one of the things that might be interesting going forward is that if there's a correction in gold and silver, we're going to see people buying the dips, which is a sign of a bull market. You know, when people who didn't get all they wanted on the last run up see it get cheaper and they start buying, that's a sign of confidence in the market. And in a bear market, it's the opposite. When things go up a little bit, you see everybody coming in and selling because they just want to get out, you know, because they don't trust the market anymore. And what we're seeing lately is, especially in the physical market, when gold and silver go down, the regular buyers of gold and silver step up. You know, the Chinese buy more, the Russians buy more, and individuals in the West just buy the hell out of silver coins. And so you're seeing all the the mints in the West sell out. You know, they're selling record amounts of maple leaves and silver eagles and other kinds of silver coins. And that's a sign of confidence and strong hands accumulating.
Yes, for sure. So, yeah, take an incremental approach. Don't get greedy, and you'll wind up, in a good position if that's what you decide is in your best interest to do. And don't let the crowd unduly influence you, either through fear or greed. That's the key, John. You know,
yeah.
Don't get taken back by fear. Don't get put off by greed. Because either way is it's not a good place to be in. So on that note, make sure you check out John's latest work over at dollarcollapse.com. And as always, there's a link on financialsurvivalnetwork.com that'll take you to John's site. And hey, keep an eye on the Brexit thing. It's going to keep going, but don't look too closely at where it is they're trying to lead you to. Try to get ahead of the game and understand what it's all about, because I think there's some distraction going on here. I think that's what it is. And John, it's definitely interesting times. We're going to be seeing a lot more of this going on. And hey, we'll be tracking it. Join us every Monday. John and I take a look at what's happening in the real world here, not the world that the media inhabits that they try to drag you along on. John, we will talk to you next week, and be well.
Thanks, Gary. You too.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.